We've been waiting for this for a year. It's come round again. First of all, I think really important to know what sort of going is. And you're there. You're our man on the spot. What's the ground like?
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, it's drying out after all the rain. It's quite incredible. The clerk of the course science club talking about watering later in the week. Quite incredible. But it's dry. It's sunny. And we can't wait to get going. Seven fantastic races. And you say we've been waiting for a year as sponsors for the first time ever at Cheltenham. We've been waiting ever since we signed the contract. It's the Skybet Supreme Novices Hurdle, the first of the day. Money back if the favourite wins. We've got an offer there. Four places, so we're giving an extra offer there. It's just, we're giving money away. It's outrageous.
Oh, the generosity of Skybet. Now, let's see how generous you are when we're talking about Irvin Vatour, who looked to be the two kings of the kings are in this race here. What sort of prices are you looking at?
Well, you're looking around at the moment, 11-4 Irving, 3-1 Vatour, but there's 18 runners declared. So there's plenty of depth to the race. I just remember Champagne Fever last year, the same connections as Vatour, going off and never stopping. And I just fancy that Willie Mullins' horse may just get the better. Irving's more of a hold-up speed horse. And if it comes into a real test of stamina, I think Irving might just get caught out. Wicklow Brave comes with good form. There's been a bit of money for Josses Hill. The Liquidator, that'll be really popular. Got Cheltenham form, just disappointed in his last run. It's a fantastic race, 18 runners. The Cheltenham Raw, 1:30 tomorrow.
Can I just ask you, is there a price available on Splash of Ginge? Is Splash of Ginge even running?
Yeah, Splash of Ginge is at around 20-1. Won the big hurdle race at Newbury. And so there's plenty of depth to the race. As I say, there was 29 horses declared at the five-day stage. We thought it might cut up a bit, but it certainly hasn't. We've now got 18 runners. And say, Josses Hill was one that we saw money for each way. Western Boy, I was at a preview evening the other night, and that was tipped up as well. So, yeah, it's a fantastic race, and it does look like it's England versus Ireland, or Great Britain, I should say, versus Ireland, Irving versus Vatour in the first. I just think the Irish may get off to a winning start.
Well, that brings us on to the next race, the Arkle Chase, 2 mile chase for novices. It looks like the Irish have got a pretty strong turnout for this one as well.
They have. Champagne Fever looks like going to go off favourite. Been tipped up everywhere. Of course, won the Supreme Novices last year. Hasn't had the best preparations. It was due to run in Ireland a couple of times, but missed those sort of intended races. Willie Mullins just wasn't happy with the horse, but comes here. And Rock'em Ruby, a former champion hurdle winner, Rock'em Ruby, you could argue that you know, he's got the best form on the book, but the reality is not that experienced over the jumps. For me, it's Champagne Fever. I think it'd be very tough to beat. Trifolium, that one's been well back. Dodging Bullets of Paul Nichols, that'll be popular in the morning as well. But for me, it's all about Champagne Fever in the Arkle.
Well, can I ask you about one other runner in there? Grandway seems to be the forgotten horse. He was a very good hurdler. He was beaten by Dodging Bullets last time out, but that's the only time in his career he's ever tried to trailblaze. Normally, he's a hold-up horse, and his second behind Hinterland reads really well.
It certainly does. You're right. It is a forgotten horse. But I think early on in the season, I remember somebody telling me Grando was the horse to follow this year, but disappointed several times over the fences. And sometimes great hurdlers just don't adapt to the bigger fences. They just don't get along with them. And I'm afraid Grando is one of those horses. But if suddenly it all comes right and he turns up on the day and the others disappoint, Grandway could be one of those that's picking up the pieces. Valdez was hugely impressive at Doncaster. That's another one who really should have a bit of an each-way chance. But I do think if they all run their race, it's Champagne Fever for me.
So champagne all round if he wins then. Well, of course, he's your horse, isn't he?
Definitely.
I just remembered, of course, he's on your list. Now, brings us on to the first handicap of the day, the Bayliss and Harding Festival Handicap Chase. Over 3 miles? Wow. Can you help us with anything here?
To be honest, it's impossible. Really tough race. If I told you 8-1 the field. So basically that means we start the betting at 8-1. That shows just how difficult the race is going to be. I don't know where to really begin. I suppose Hollywell, I quite like. That's an interesting one. Tony McCoy's chosen Alfie Sherin as his mount. We've gone five places at Skybet, so you need every one of those five places, I can assure you. If you're relying on this one to get this race to get you a winner, you're going to be struggling. Get your pin out, go and have a glass of champagne during this race, because it's very, very tough to get the winner.
Well, OK, that's a handicap. Let's move on to the feature race of the day, the Champion Hurdle. Wow. Hurricane Fly going bidding for his 20th Grade 1 race, his third Cheltenham Festival Champion Hurdle. What's his chances?
Well, he's joint favourite with the new one. It really can't separate them in the betting. The new one, Nigel Tristan Davis, won the Neptune last year. He's convinced he's absolutely a top-notch grade. And has Cheltenham form, loves it when it's a bit of a grind up the hill. The Fly, though, just keeps impressing as he gets older. As you say, won it twice before. And, of course, was so impressive in Ireland, where he saw off the third favourite, Our Connor, quite easily at Leopardstown. So it really seems to be between those. My Tent or Yours for Tony McCoy. This one had an injury scare earlier in the week, but seems to be okay now. And Jeski, a lot of good judges were putting up Jeski as the winner of this race early on in the year. Hasn't quite hit the heights as expected, but Jeski's one of those that could run a really decent race around the 8 to 10 to 1 mark. But it does look like it's whether the Fly can get his third Champion Hurdle. I must admit, I think he will.
Well, so what do you make of Captain Seabee? Is he in there as a pacemaker for My Tent or Yours? Is Jeski also going to be a pacemaker for My Tent or Yours?
Captain Seabee, you're looking at 100 to 1. Being put in to make sure it's not a doddle, so they go a proper pace. Sometimes in the races, they can just doddle along and they don't get a genuinely run race and you end up with the sprinters just coming to the fore. And of course, that's not what the JP McManus camp want. They want a really strong pace and then My Tent or Yours and Jeski can benefit from that. So that's why Captain Seabee's in the race.
Fantastic. Now, the Champion Hurdle is a fantastic race. The Supreme's a fantastic race. Now, the Mare's Hurdle, it shouldn't really be as important as it is, but because Quvega's going for her sixth successive win, it's just a massive race in itself.
It is. It's impossible, isn't it? How can you 6 year running to come back winning the same race? I mean, what an achievement for Willie Mullins if he does it. Quvega, she's 8-11 to do it again. And I must admit, I don't see any contenders. Cockney Sparrow, there's nothing stands out as a significant threat to basically dethroning Quvega. She keeps turning up. She runs once a year. This is her time of year. Cheltenham in the spring, 8-11. She'll be really well backed. And to be honest, even though bookmakers hate paying out, I hope we are tomorrow, because this place, the roof will come off it if she comes up there on her own and wins it for the sixth year.
Well, if you lose money on the Mare's Hurdle, you're sure to get it back on the National Hunt Chase. It looks as complicated as ever, Dale.
It is, exactly. It's the same as the Bayliss and Harding Festival Handicap Chase earlier. Really tough to pick them. The front two in the market are Foxtrot and Shut the Front Door. Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh going head-to-head here. Of course, amateur jockeys, this one. I must admit, I would probably prefer Just Shut the Front Door. I know Tony McCoy talked about this one really positively earlier on in the season and was just unlucky, actually, at Cheltenham not to keep an unbeaten record. Got beat that time. But I think that combination, Nina Carberry, it's the JP McManus colours. Shut the Front Door will be the one for me in the four-miler.
Excellent. Well, it brings us on to the last race of the day. Now, it's another handicap, and I need your help here, Dale. I need your help.
If it's the last race of the day and you're struggling, once again, this is a really 6-1 the field this time. So that means the shortest price horse is 6-1. It's so competitive. The one that stands out, though, is one of the ones at the top of the market. That's Pendra. Charlie Loxton horse has been in fantastic form. I've been impressed with this horse every time I've seen him this year. It is, though, a very, very competitive race. And as I say, my better bets are early on with Champagne Fever. And I do think the Fly and the new one, they'll battle it out in the Champion Hurdle. And I think Quvega wins. But if I get to this last one, Pendra is a very tentative selection. But if, in all honesty, I must admit, I think I'll concentrate my betting on those earlier races.